Enunciate.
You're like, let's go. And I was like, sure, yeah. Went to go grab my drink and I knocked it off the table. And then for some reason, I lost all sense of like what you do with a carbonated beverage. And I just opened it anyway. And it geysered. Geysered. And I put my hand over it and it was still just going. Somehow it's out of the shot. So it's either this or I go shirtless. So.
Well, you know what you have to do.
This isn't going to gain us followers, I don't think.
The only fans is only going to kick off one way.
The robots.
Oh, hey.
How are babies?
Oh, we live. Whoops.
Yes.
Cool. Whose babies? Robo babies.
How are your robot babies?
Yeah, they seem well. Thanks for asking.
How are your real babies?
They're also pretty well, yeah.
How's your family? Oh, no, not the robots.
Yeah, we're all pretty tired. Going away in 2 days, but I've worked myself to the point of sickness, so I'm
I hear ya.
scratchy voice. Too many 1 a.m. finishes this week. Machining that big order of acoustic stuff. Weet-Bix. Has Jem had his
As a
Weet-Bix? Yes, 850 Weet-Bix this week.
Weetabix. I had this imagination of you in the shop with like a headset on and like it's translating through like Claude and you're yelling at it and that's how the robots are
Oh, that's the
moving. Like
dream.
you're giving instructions, but you gotta like yell the whole time. That's why you
Have
lost
to
your
scream
voice.
into
Yeah.
it. Yeah, I've been finding myself wanting a headset lately. Keep
Yeah.
researching them and almost buying one, but then going, no, not
Yeah.
important. What am I doing?
Something real nice, like an 80s aviator set where it's
Oh
like
yeah.
tan on the outside.
Yeah, one of those aviation headsets would be sick. 'Cause they must have
They get
good
to wear
noise
aviators
cancellation,
too.
right? Okay.
You would hope. Maybe they
They
sucked. Who
must.
knows? That
Yeah,
was just the
yeah.
best they had.
Maybe that's
It's like
just
two
why it
coconuts.
sounds. Yeah,
That's because they're eating the microphone.
if anyone knows what the best
It's probably like 5 grand.
workshop headset is. Yeah, I know. They're probably like crazy expensive Bose aviation headset.
I know
Yeah, I
who we
don't
can
know.
ask.
Who? Our friends. Our special friends.
The only person I ask anything anymore. Jippity.
I got called a poser online this week for using AI and in an
Yep.
Instagram comment. I was like, interesting.
I
And
saw that.
I just stopped conversing with the dude because he didn't seem to be in a mood for constructive conversation. But it is a conversation I want to have. Like, because, yes, I also have ethical concerns about its resource use, energy and water and the like. And people that know me, like some of my family, have made comment about, how heavy a user I appear to be. And it's, yeah, I find it a challenge, I suppose, to reconcile that aspect of it sometimes. But also, I just
Yeah.
don't like, I find it hard to get clear answers on this stuff. There's all sorts of hyperbole on the internet, and maybe it's true.
Yeah.
Maybe
The whole
it is
like
as bad as people say, but yeah, I don't know. It's very hard to find clear information about it.
the whole Sam Altman, is that his name? The Jeep Claude.
Sam,
No,
yeah,
jeez.
Sam Daddy.
Sam Altman, the I just mixed him up. That was good. The Claude guy. No.
Oh, the Claude guy.
The Jippity guy. He was quoted saying that every inquiry request on Jeopardy is 1/15 of a teaspoon, which is like the most, or a tablespoon, something
Of what?
ridiculous, some ridiculously tiny of water use.
All right, yeah.
And I still don't understand what the water use is. What is it? Is it evaporating water? Like, are we like
Yeah.
pouring water on a processor somewhere, like
I
a
believe so.
GPU?
That's my understanding,
Just
yeah. Water cooled GPUs not being reclaimed for some reason. Not sure why.
that's crazy to me. Because it's like next to a river and they're like pumping in and pumping out kind of thing.
Don't know.
I don't get
Yeah,
that at all.
these are the bits I'd love to understand. Anyway, I stopped conversing with this gentleman on Instagram. Yeah, something I'd like to look into more and address in a adult way. But otherwise, I successfully ran a program that Claude, well, Cursor, using Claude, wrote that I genuinely yelled at the robots over the machine noise as I was running cycles the other
Perfect.
night.
Perfect.
And I didn't, it was far from a single shot. It was like error, error,
Yeah.
error, error. There's errors in this code. It's not working. It's not drawing. Oh, that almost worked. And almost drew a circle.
Robot's just like slamming its fist down.
We got there and we ran a little program. Doodle-doot, drew a little square. And
Yeah.
then John was in the next day and he was fiddling with it. And he very astutely recognized that the errors were all happening in a similar spot as the robot was trying to sort of lift up and sort of kind of exit the path. And he's like, I reckon it's because we haven't set the weight of the tool. And I had a poke around in the controller, and the tool is set to like 0.01 kilograms. And he's like,
That's
maybe that's
small.
why it's error. Like it's getting an error on axis three every time it tries to lift out of the toolpath. I was like, oh, interesting. Let's fiddle with that.
Poor
And
its
so
rotator cuff.
last night, yesterday, my kid was having a nap and I was here on Friday. And I was in Grasshopper fiddling around with like the robot components Grasshopper plugin, which is pretty awesome and powerful. And I posted a simple program out of that. And then just in code, VS Code, after the fact, I was like, oh, there's that 0.01 value again. Let me overwrite that to be 25 kilos because John had roughly measured the weight of our HSD spindle on Cameron. And it bloody ran perfectly. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm happy now. I know what payload I've got on the end of my noodle. And I'm happy
Amazing.
doing what I'm told. So, yeah, I think a lot of the errors that I'd had with Cursor the other night were probably just a weight. Misassigned weight issue. So, yeah.
Did you pass those errors back to Cursor?
I have not
Or
yet.
could you
Oh,
easily?
I was,
Yeah.
yes. Yeah. I was taking
Yeah.
photos of the controller on my phone, just airdropping them
Right.
back to Cursor and be like, hey, still working.
Right.
That would hallucinate up some reason as to why it wasn't working and then try again and have another error and.
Yeah. It's an interesting, like, I guess I've lost all interest in, I don't know if I ever really fully wanted to learn how to like code some of these. Like, I don't really care to learn TypeScript, for example. I'll look at it enough. It's very readable. I think it's its whole point. It's JavaScript that uses, well, they say it's typable, right? Like, it's like
Okay.
more human language, and that's like what we're making Airshop in. Yeah.
Okay, enough.
And Cursor is great with it because it's very common. It's all over the place. But it's like, I when you were we were talking about the person giving you crap, I
Yeah.
was just thinking, both responses for you, as well as like, I don't know, like what do we expect to, like, at this point, I can't go back. It's out of the can, like, now that I
Yeah.
know there's this kind of efficiency and capability, oh, I guess it's stupid to not learn these things myself, but also, like, that's literally years of learning that I'm bottling up into this little requester input output box. So I don't know. I see the same thing with you. It's like, are you going to learn rapid to the point where, like, you're typing it? Maybe, but like,
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, yes.
If
Yeah.
right,
Yeah.
but it's like right away, you wouldn't be anywhere near where you are probably now getting it to move around, I would assume.
No, I mean, I've learned
Yeah.
so much over the last month using AI tools to research and train me basically in rapid code. Yes, I could have read the manuals myself, but I've just found them so useful as a learning tool. You know, like Notebook LM, making the bloody podcast that I listened to on repeat for a few days because I found it, you know, a different way of absorbing the information. Yeah, like I've used that sort of rationale before of like, well, the cat's out of the bag now. I may as well use these tools. Or like my other thing that I sort of justify it to myself with is like, my kids are going to grow up in this world. I want to be someone that understands this technology to the best of my ability before my, you know, before my kids get to sort of device and computer age. I want to be sort of be there and understand it as best I can, rather than be sort of oblivious or like have my head in the sand and be ignoring it until it's entirely pervasive and everywhere. So, which, you know, it's well on the way to being everywhere. So, I don't know. Interesting thing to ponder.
The Notebook LM thing gave me a little thought. Aaron and I are trying to plan a trip, and
Cool.
I don't know. We have not traveled in long enough, just us two, that kind of like struggling to process it and think about it and think about the money and where we would go. And like, it's just like the pandemic kind of threw us for such a loop and our IVF stuff. So with travel, so we're just like off. And I was like, oh, the place I'm thinking about, it'd be kind of interesting. Maybe I'll try and educate myself with a Notebook LM show on it. And I threw a bunch of sources in. I had it find a bunch of sources. And like the first line of them talking, both hosts could not pronunciate the city we were thinking of going to. And it just completely took me out of any trust or interest in listening to them. I was like, that's what? You know, like, no, that's not even close. So we stopped listening to it after 2 minutes. It was a 20-minute episode. So I don't know. I'll probably come back and try it a different way, but it was the first thing I thought of to use it for.
That's funny. Very good. Speaking of traveling, I'm going into state in about 24 hours, with the whole fam. I'm going up to the Gold Coast, somewhere I've never been
That's
before, to
northeast.
install Northeast, correct? Yep, well done.
I have a friend
We
that's moving there.
are, yeah, going up to install Laura's sculpture that she's been working on 24/7 for the last month. Sculptures as part of a sculpture festival up there. So we arrive and spend the first few days installing. I'll be wrangling kiddos while Laura installs, and then hopefully we'll get a little bit of time off while we're up there in the second week. But we'll see how things go. But so yeah, I've the robots are all plugged in, and well, they're not all plugged in, but the two main ones, Abe and Abby, are plugged in and ready to go, and I'll be leaving them with dear Jonathan to continue fiddling with for the next 2 weeks, which I'm a little bit sad
You're gonna
about,
come back and they'll be
but he's gonna
like
have fun.
just churning it away.
Yeah, they're gonna be like having lightsaber battles and it's gonna be awesome. But
With dowels.
yeah. But yeah, we wrote it. John and I caught up on the last day of work this week and wrote a bit of a list of like, cool. These things would be great to achieve by the time I get back. Have a go.
Yeah.
See how far you can get.
Right. Have you acquired any other? I guess it came one one came with a spindle, and then are there any other end effectors to them that you have?
No, I mean, Tiny's got old pneumatic grippers on him from the forge days in the car factory, but no intention of using those specifically. Although I should see if they even work. I should plug them in. But no, initially I was thinking I've just bought some like a sanding spindle thingy flap wheel thing on AliExpress to try. I found myself on AliExpress the other day. I bought some like sanding flap wheels that we can just put in a tool holder in the spindle and try doing some edge sanding with. And bought myself one of those little cute self-centering vices, like the one you got
Yeah.
as well.
I was just I think instead you should get a grinder and put the flap wheel on it and then 3D print a hand that holds the grinder.
Oh yeah, perfect. I think that's probably
Anthropomorphize
the next step is either buying, can't remember what the company is. It's an American company that
Tri-hand.
makes like a tool holder balanced like orbital sander tool that you can put in a ISO 30 tool holder
And
that
quit
people put
throwing on your
on
before
gantry
ISO
machines.
30.
So maybe buy one of those.
Tools today. I'll throw it on
Yeah,
here.
that
ISO
one.
30 sander. Like $400.
Yeah, US, something like that.
I'd be a little surprised if it's not a gl like if they're not white labeling it. I don't feel like this is something that Amana came up with. It
Yeah, I
says
don't
in
know.
sand, INSAND. Here's a link. That's super cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just, 3D print based not a hand, but some sort of gripper that can hold an actual orbital sander and try doing it that way. Don't know. Different approaches. We'll play fiddle. Have you bought any like 0 point fixture stuff on places like Ali?
Not AliExpress or Alibaba, but Amazon, and it's that Zindian, Zindian, like
Oh
that is
yeah.
widely regarded among a lot of people as like a great entry level system. I did buy that tiny one that I shamefully still haven't set up for our manual drill pressing operations that I was trying to figure out like in January, I want to say. Remember I was talking about trying to get that dust boot jig fixture dialed in a different way, and we just
That's
or
right,
he
yeah.
has figured out a way to keep it running in the meantime of Justin trying to figure out better fixturing that hasn't happened. So I have one on my desk. I've never
Yeah,
used
okay.
it.
Yeah, I just feel like getting some basic 0 point stuff going could be super useful for the robots. Like having,
Right.
they've got such a massive working envelope. We could have like their main, work machining zone, but then we could have another bench over there on the other reach with like a bunch of like little prototyping fixtures on them of like 0 point fixture plate and vise and chuck and just things so you can go, cool. Work offset 33 is the self-centering vise. And I'm going to stick some stock in there and stick a few holes in something and zip, 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 and just have it all ready to go.
I feel like from seeing your stories that the two that you've mounted up are close enough they could hit each other.
They are, yeah.
So how do you deal with that? They're not intelligent, right? Like they just will hit each other, right? If you're
If
not
programmed to
like
do so,
coordinating
yes.
them. Boxing, one boxing glove each.
Yeah, I put them that close together, partly because I wanted them to share a work envelope on their adjacent side. Obviously, I wouldn't run a program where they're both using that workspace at the same time.
Or like cooperatively at least
Yeah,
somehow.
if maybe, yeah, that partly I did it for the idea of experimenting with cooperative programs where like one is basically just being a indexed, all Abby's doing is just holding stock or holding a fixture table and rotating it to do sort of add another axis, why not add more just for complexity. But that idea I find curious of like, cool. One of them's just being an indexable fixture, rotate the head by 45 degrees and then come in and do the next operation.
Yeah.
But also, I want to set up, I think I want to try and set up a lathe in that shared workspace so that Abby can sand dowels and the other one maybe is helping load the dowels. Yeah, I don't know. There's just ideas that I want to play with having access to arms in the same work envelope.
Right.
Sanding, loading, stuff like that. It's kind of where my brain
Can you
was at.
set like planes where they can't go beyond, like a stop?
Yes. Yep.
Interesting.
Which is what I'm gonna have to do. The way they're set up here, they've kind of got, other than that shared zone, they've kind of got pretty much uninhibited reach. There's enough room around them. But in the new workshop plan, the current layout anyway, there's zones where I'd have to like exclude, so they can't ever reach into like the pedestrian zone. But yeah, apparently you can do that. I haven't sort of worked out how to set up those sort of safety containment zones yet, but apparently it's an option on the control. So yeah.
I think we talked about this a while back, but I'm imagining how incredibly cool it would be to use virtual reality to be able to visualize your programming. Or to like better like either with your hands or a controller or something, be able to like point or
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
like walk around the robot and then see like, oh, that's where the work plane is and where the that would be so cool.
Love
I
that
don't know how
idea.
useful it would be, but I feel like it'd be really helpful just to debug and like plan things or
I know.
see how close things need to be. In that little class I did, the guy was saying the kind of the leader of the class was saying, we can simulate all day long, but reality is you're always programming all this stuff on site, like in person.
Wish that
With the
was
cobots, anyway.
the UR class. Interesting. Yeah, I love the idea of somehow getting a VR, AR, yeah, it'd be AR, wouldn't it? AR rig set up.
I think so, yeah.
That'd be super cool. I did do some experiments, a few weeks ago before they arrived, of like chatting to Chatty about that concept of like, cool, what if I had an AR headset and I could like put some weird organic thing on the fixture table and then come down and say, cool, we're gonna machine kind of this axis and like assign like axis points and work planes just with my hand or pendant in physical space and be like, cool, this is the work plane, assign it. Like that stuff would be super cool. Do some really interesting things. I don't see why it's not possible. I mean, bloody, like, I just still can't get over how amazing, like, Grasshopper is for this stuff. Like, the whole ecosystem of programming robots using Grasshopper just blows my mind. The fact that it's just sitting there, open source, free. I can, like, run full robot simulation in there. Like, yeah. If I could wrap my head around how these Grasshopper patches are built and get to a point where I could actually start to mess with them and feed in other data from other places, like, get data in and out, you could do just, yeah, so many different things.
It is, it's just like, I mean, somebody needs to comment if you're tired of hearing us talk about AI and GPT and Claude. But so many ways it's enabling things I've thought about or things I want to build. Let's see, the two things I thought about this, like we talked about this week, that one I finished already was I was trying to get Zapier to, when we get inquiries on Airtable, it sends an email to the customer as a receipt, and it also creates a ticket in Help Scout. It's the same it used to do in Freshdesk. It's a place then, now we have a team inbox where we can respond to that customer, they can respond to us. What has always happened is there's no data from Airtable about like the person, their organization, their name, which we have because they filled out already. It's just in Airtable. And I've never been able to get that over in Freshdesk, and Zapier has an action for it. It to update the customer properties, but it didn't work. And I was talking to their support, and then I was just like talking to like Claude or Cursor or something too. I was like, how can I get this to work? And they're like, well, you can just use the API. And I was like, done. And so like in 4 shots, I had a script in an automation inside of Airtable that pushes that over and it works perfectly.
So cool.
I like completely skipped needing Zapier. It's faster because it like happens as soon as it hits the record view.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to like pull. So I was like, well, I guess I don't need support anymore. Like I figured it out without needing, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
And the other was to be able to, Ricky and I were talking about like picking a box for a shipment is pretty tricky.
Mm.
And there's always like variations and you can sit and play with like, you're trying to optimize it, which we try not to, like try to pick one and go with it, so you're not just sitting there spending a bunch of time shipping a box that's going to save you $4. Mm. But like I was like, you know, this is going to be an AI solved problem, or like a vision system. Like I bet I could right now find GitHub repos that have vision like scanning through two webcams, a top and a side view. You put all this stuff on the table and it goes, you should use the 12x9x4 box. You know, like, it's just done instantly.
That'd be cool.
Where it's still a little bit of work. And a better system would probably be if, like, it just did it in the computer. But that's a lot of data you got to store, too. So Cursor did say that was possible. And there are already libraries for all this. And it was like, do you want to start? And I was like, I need to do this later.
Not today. Sold that idea.
Pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, I'm the same. I find it incredibly enabling to sort of think about and execute on, all these little ideas that, you know, just wouldn't have been feasible to even sort of attempt. I'd love to get into AR with the robots at some point, but again, similar thing. It's like, cool, no, that can sit there for a while. Let's get other things sorted first.
Yeah.
Let's just get them doing some useful work and then, carry on from there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hmm.
I got a kind of, it's a non-AI question.
Hmm.
And I think I might have brought something like this up before, but I have a specific rep/salesperson for a company that I can't run away from. Like I can't go find a replacement company for this service this thing that they provide. It's the only version of it. And the person I've been given is a regional salesperson and they're terrible at their job. I'm not even talking like
regional sales
instance.
Manager.
It is over a year and a half, at least, maybe 2 years, I call this person, I email this person, I'll get back to you today. It's just day after day of the same BS and never giving me answers. And I'm very upfront with him now. I'm just like, you aren't providing me what I need, which makes me look bad to my customers. And I don't know what else to do about it at this point other than like go tell their manager. But I know that's going to be a problem for everybody. You know, like that doesn't, I don't know where else to go with, like, it's like a week to get an answer when my customer's like, I need this today or I need this.
Yeah. But do you think it's just this individual or do you think it's a company culture problem?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Had a similar experience when we tried to switch materials, like the whole like 15 mil, 16 mil hoop pine conundrum that sort of played out last year. And we ended up switching suppliers entirely because we're chasing. We're like, oh, you guys can do 16. Fantastic. Well, we really need 16. So that's, you know, had a great meeting. They sent two guys out. Like, oh, yeah, we can do that, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, in the end, the material was crap and we sent like a whole 40 sheets back because of quality control issues and basically just gave up on the 16 mil went back to the reliable supplier. But there, yeah, like a rep, the rep there was very similar. Just like, do you know what irritated me the most in emails? Because it took them like 3 months to actually pick up the stock we were returning and give us the refund. At least they did it finally, to their credit. But
That's a long time to sit on that much material. I guess that's a stack, but.
yeah, it was frustrating. But the thing that irritated me the most was not the delays, but his language in emails. He would always kind of say they, as if like the company he worked for, he wasn't part of the
Wasn't
company he
his
worked
company?
for. It wasn't, yeah,
Oh,
he wasn't
cool.
involved. It's like, oh, they'll, sorry about that. I'll find out. Or like, yeah, they still haven't processed, he kept like sort of subtly
Did you just go, who are you talking about?
washing his hands of it. It's like, hang on, no, you work for this company. What are you
You are
talking
they.
about? Yeah, you're responsible. Anyway, it was
Get a
finally
little of that from
resolved,
this
but
person. It's just funny to have these conversations. It's very like, aw shucks, kind. Like, I'll get it done, I'll help you out. And then in this one order we've been working on, it has been day after day of telling me they'll get me an answer that day, me telling them my customer is getting frustrated with me, and nothing. No answer. Nothing. I call again and just doesn't even respond to my emails. Like, not like rapid emailing, it's like one a day, and I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm paying you money. Why are you just disregarding me?
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know what
Frustrating.
else go around, I guess, at some point, or
Maybe you
just
could
deal with
try.
it.
I don't know. Okay, well, either you shop elsewhere or you're gonna have to go around, right? If it's not working.
Yeah.
Don't know. Tricky.
Right.
I ended up being pretty frank with my guy. Like I said to him in an email at one point when the refund was still was not being processed, and after, months of emails, I was reasonably, not rude, but I was reasonably upfront in an email of just like, hey, like this is quite frustrating, and also the kind of the way you continue to sort of, I can't remember the wording I used, but basically wash your hands of the situation, pass the buck is fairly unprofessional. Can we get this sorted, please? And that did seem to land, and things happened a little bit quicker, but yeah.
I did that. I've done that at least 3 times in the last couple of years, and it
Yeah.
did help once for like a
Yeah.
week, and
For
then I sent back to
a
like a
week?
million
Amazing.
excuses.
Yeah.
Anyway. I had a crazy week. We didn't have daycare this week for reasons. And I had training yesterday at a class. The last one we have scheduled for a while, and I'm considering ending it because we just aren't getting enough interest.
The
And it could
in-person
be that
stuff.
I re yeah, it could be that I reconsider potentially like what the content is, or like what the focus specifically is. But I'm also just like, I've spread them out so that we'd potentially get more people interested each time. And I'm doing in-person training that's like scheduled, like with companies, not like extensively, but like kind of as much as I'm doing just my normal class that we started, the unicorn class. And I mean, the money's better on the personalized training, but also like it just doesn't, it's like people act to be interested and they never sign up. And I'm like, I don't know. Like we had a very small class yesterday and it went okay, but the point for me was for it to be profitable. And when we have two people, it's basically not profitable, you know, at some point, for how much time it takes us to prepare and tear down and the time to do it that day. And enjoy the concept though. So I don't know, maybe it's just not quite right, or just not wasn't the market didn't want it.
Yeah, I mean, from sitting here, knowing what I know, I feel like there's definitely value in doing that one-on-one personalized stuff if you can find the clients for it. You know, you can charge probably a very handsome hourly rate for that sort of bespoke one-on-one consultation to help, you know, someone, you know, someone get further in their production or design process. I imagine that would be pretty rewarding work.
I can frame it in that concept of profitability, but it's also just kind of like it feels a waste of everybody's time, I suppose, if it's not utilized, right? It's like you have people talking about using it, Ricky and I planning something. It's just like when you got one or two people in a class, it's just like it's yeah. Anyway, because then it's like, well, what's the point of this class if it's shouldn't it just be customized training at this point? Like, we're just talking about your thing or your two things. Anyway, it's been a little bit frustrating, but I also was kind of experiment from the beginning, considering maybe trying something that's just fusion related. So it's an interesting. So I tell you that we had one person, did I ever say this? We had one person just disappear at lunchtime. I probably didn't
Really?
say it at the time.
No, you didn't. No.
Was engaged in the class, had traveled from a different state. And one of the other students said that they saw this person go out to talk on the phone, and then we all came back in, and never came back. Emailed him afterwards, and I was like, "Hope everything's okay." Nothing.
Oh,
Was like,
well,
either you were unhappy or you found something better to do, I guess.
or something terrible happened.
That's what I thought. Is like, I was worried that it was like a family thing, and it's like no time to, but I don't know.
Yeah, Rowan, who works
Da-da.
here 3 days a week, he runs classes. He's a knife. He's a forging, metalworking
Oh,
dude.
smacking metal.
Smacking. He's a metal smacker. Makes beautiful knives and runs like knife making classes on weekends. And Two Hands Forge is his business. Cool business. They make beautiful things. And but yeah, he's described the challenges of running, you know, courses, you know, regularly. Every other weekend, and like just people sometimes just, you know, with no notice, just not turning up to their booked slot that they've paid a deposit for, and how sort of deflating that can be. But yeah, it must be, I think, particularly in this sort of current sort of economic, these current conditions. When the idea of going and doing a, you know, a cool making course maybe becomes slightly more of a luxury than it was a year ago for a lot of people, it can be probably hard and challenging. But yeah, the idea of someone just aborting, I would find that really challenging to not feel sort of personally hurt by that. I think.
I couldn't. It would be different because we've had, you know, people have different demeanors, and it is really challenging when, like I said here before, that when somebody's really novice or doesn't understand or know the content, and then there's other people, most people have some. Like, my whole plan about the thing is you should have to take the online Fusion introduction class I made. It's included. It takes a few, I don't remember, half a day, you know, a few nights. And that way you're coming in with a baseline. And then some people typically know something about a CNC, and I'm trying to take them up a few notches in like their skill set. It's fine if you don't know all of it, but it's like, that's the worst. And sometimes that with multiple people, it's like we've really kind of all come down to one level while that person comes up. And it wasn't even that, you know? So it's just, it was just such a quirky, like, nobody seemed to understand it. 'Cause like the students talk, like when we have downtime, they're all kind of chatting and talking about their businesses and stuff. And everyone's like, oh, I don't understand. Where did they go? So me, I guess, I don't know. What do you think about giving LLMs your products to be indexed, to be in search results or in query results?
How do you do that? Where do I sign?
Seeing little posts and I have, okay, you're in. All right, we're in.
I'm in.
Both of us are in. They're doing it anyway, I know, but I know there's a way to do it more directly.
Really? I've wondered about this from as soon as ChatEG became the monster that it is. I've been pondering about when this was going to kick off with, like, not paid ads, but like basically product injection. And curiously, you know, it's like Googling yourself from time to time. I will LLM myself or my business and be like, hey, why do you know about this? You know, tell me about like butter.
I've been LLMing myself all year.
yeah, curious. Okay. I don't know about this. What do you know? Tell me.
I just sent you a link in Slack. Okay. It says, I Googled it. I Googled it to get the GPT to answer.
Nice.
Help ChatGPT discover your products from April 28th of this annual. Now includes product recommendations as part of its search experience when a user queries implies shopping intent, such as gifts for someone who loves cooking, best noise-canceling headphones under $200, it may surface relevant products. Well, it'd be pretty good if then it was like, ChatGPT gains from as an affiliate of Amazon.
Yes.
It's taking a little bite.
Well, as if that's not going to happen. Surely.
As like an influencer.
Surely that's happening. Okay, interesting. I'll check out the link.
It'd be pretty crazy if it was really effective at like immediately providing return and like you were the only one that was like, you know, modular shelves, design your own and you just got like insane traffic suddenly. Made by robots. That's what I Google when I look for my shelves.
Yeah. Totally.
Modular robot-made shelves. Locally. Near me.
Yeah, of course it answers. I just asked Chatty, best modular timber shelves shelving in Australia. And of course, like butter was the first. But it's in the context of my chat history, so, you know. Maybe you need to ask the same questions.
Oh, yeah.
Best modular timber shelving in Australia.
It knows you too, though.
It does know me.
I found it really disturbing that it knew who my wife was, and I asked it, who, GPT, and I was like, how did you know that? And it was like, you told me in the past.
Yeah.
And I was like, when did I tell you in the past?
When?
And it was like, October 2023 or something. I was like,
did it? Yeah, right.
It's never going to remember. It's going to remember everything now.
Yeah. It's all baked in now. The guys on This Day in AI did a funny experiment recently where there was some article that, you know, Claude developers were baking in the ability for basic Claude to sort of dub in questionable behavior to the authorities. Mm-hmm. And so they called, like, they set up Claude with a phone call ability and a brief of like, you know, if the user inputs anything, you know, dodgy, call the police. And it was quite entertaining because Claude was just like so ready to go, just like anything, it would just jump on any opportunity to pick up the phone and dial what it thought was the police, federal police hotline. It was kind of entertaining, but also quite disturbing. Of like, oh, cool. So these things can remember everything now, and they're only like one MCP call away from being able to pick up the phone and W in for
Yeah.
pirating.
I'm not telling it anything I don't want it to know. I mean, they're absolutely going to use queries for like patent lawsuits and like trademark infringement and like what did they ask about how they were copying our website, you know, like
Exactly.
how did they reverse engineer our Keurig cups? Let's see here. So we have to Google each or GPT each other.
Good idea.
What's the best modular shelving in Australia? It's number one, baby.
What is?
Do you ever get those? The kit of parts of Aussie-made timber system with threaded dowels and interchangeable shelves, fully reconfigurable, sustainable, lifetime warranty. Great for vinyl offices, living rooms, start kits from. I get an A dollar sign 525 up to 2K.
So you did get that result. So
You've
token.
been indexed.
I've been indexed.
And then
Obviously,
I got different answers
chatting
though.
to Chatty about. Yeah, cool. It's a
The
good sign.
second one was Verdio and then Mugu, but yours were different than that. Yeah, you got totally different ones. That's interesting.
Well, it's cool.
It'd be funny if your version of the answer was just like, "What do you mean, Jim? There's only kit of parts."
You're the only one. You're the only one.
You're the only one for me. I only use your shelves in my virtual studio. Sun's out. Hooray.
Hooray, ta-da! The sun is coming up here.
I think I hear a
How's your
screamer,
little
but
sleeper?
also some
Oh.
top dust boots. Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a PDX recommendation when I looked for
We'll see about that.
dust boots. Better get indexed. Get on that. Can we talk about what you sent me in a text message yesterday, or is that secret sauce?
No, yeah, oh yeah. I was trying to remember what it was. I send you too much stuff.
Very
Yeah, we.
shiny looking document.
Yeah, that's. I've never got one digitally. I've only gotten one before, I guess. It was 10, 14 years ago. I got the official, which I knew had happened. I had to pay more money to actually get it sent to me. Like, not to
Yeah,
get
of
this little
course.
document, but. The patent lawyer was like, had told me previously, like, you've paid all your dues and you're just waiting for it to get approved. And then they're like, actually, the patent office was like, you need to pay more money. And I was like, all right, fine, I will. But I got a patent for the tool holder.
You!
Official.
Congrats. Congrats.
They
Is that,
cited
yeah.
one of my YouTube videos, which was kind of entertaining
Really?
to me. I don't know why they cited my own thing, which was interesting. I think maybe that's common, but.
There you go. That's cool. And
Might not have been
now,
a
how
real link, though.
is that a forever document? I would say like
No, it's 15 years.
15 years. Okay, well that's a good run.
Yeah.
Can I ask how many dollary dues it costs to do such a thing?
Close to $3,000.
Yeah. Okay.
It was originally like, and I mean, this vastly varies on the lawyers you use and what they want to charge to help you, but there's like a minimum for patents specifically what the government charges. And then the lawyer part, if you hire a lawyer, which you can or can if you want to. Yeah, I've used this one. He's been really great and they're affordable for a business of my size. So
Cool.
yeah, wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, kind of expected it, and it was just like a matter of time. But I think we applied. Oh, October 3rd, 2023. So it's been a bit.
Oh, that's been a bit hot minute.
And
Wow.
there was no like what they call office actions, which is like when it sends back to the lawyer and they have to do something to like clarify or like make a new something or and there was none of that. So it was just straight through and it took
Straight
that
through.
long.
She wouldn't
Government.
want to be in a rush. Would not want to be in a rush. It's like our dear friends here who've sort of, who are making shelves that look a lot like our shelves have just put on, slapped those numbers on their website. It's like, it's like, do you really? Do you actually have
I don't know if it works
those?
this if it works the same here, but like if they're making something that's basically your product and they're trying to patent it, your prior art would invalidate it. And even if it goes through and gets filed as it would, if it got filed and they got actually signed and the patent office didn't catch that you already had a previous product like that, then you could send in your website and say, "Hey, this shouldn't be a patent," and it'll invalidate it. Assuming they're trying to claim what your thing does.
Even if, but what if I don't have a patent? It's just because it
That doesn't
exists
matter
prior.
here.
Yeah,
Yeah,
interesting.
because you were the prior art, if you can prove that, which is pretty easy with like archive.org or whatever to prove when you had your website up and the data was out there. Or like Instagram post count too, like
Sick.
as prior art.
Got those from a long time ago. Nice. Well,
Technically, you don't even have to make it. Like, just
really?
describe it visual, especially visually. Like, if you had a drawing of it and you put it in the world, that would be
Well.
enough here.
Has a question unrelated to patents, if you've got time, or do you need to run?
Nope. Oh, seemingly fine,
Doing
I
okay?
think. Oh, you fell back asleep.
Sick. Do 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 you use cursor rules at all in all
I
your
do.
projects? You do. Okay. And
I
have you
messed it
made them
up when I first tried
yourself?
it.
Or did you work?
The biggest one that I was really frustrated with since Agents came out was it was committing on its own, which it to me
To
is like
GitHub.
blasphemy. Because it
Wild.
creates a deployment in my case. And I do not care for an agent to just be doing stuff like that. That's a step too far. It's like without review. So the first thing I did, I think it's a different place than rules, but it's like what commands do you not allow them to run? And I put in git commit, and it actually stops now. But that for a while was really pissing me off. I love the agent idea. I do not want you putting code into the world, even on our private GitHub. But other than that, the rules are loose. And it might be because of the way that some of the LLMs work, but it just kind of is like I'll tell it to like never use important, which is like an override in most HTML to like make something red, right, in a local place. And it still does it all the time. So the rules don't seem to apply to the LLM that it's made for
Interesting.
right now,
Okay.
anyway.
It's just been something I'm aware of. I see lots of posts about cursor rules and how it changes your workflow, makes it so much better, but I've never tried it. It's just been on my radar of something I should have a crack at. And I've become more aware of it as I've made this sort of environment, agent environment for the ABB programming of like, it's got a whole lot of reference documents now in its little workspace that it should reference. And, but it's, I think on some level, it's become overcomplicated too. I think I'll probably take this project to a point and go, cool, okay, let's strip this all back. I was saying to John the other day, I reckon I could probably strip, once it's working, strip this whole project down to just like, a single system prompt of like, you are an ABB programming expert, and these are your rules. And it's just like a single block of text that you could dump into any agent environment and say, cool, these are your rules. Let's go.
You know, I was thinking about maybe, I don't know how to say this. My concern for what you're trying to build right now is how it doesn't stick to rules, right? Like it's not, it doesn't let itself be constrained very well. And I was thinking more about like, which were way beyond me in understanding how robots work and programming them, but just in terms of like trying to make a system that people will be able to follow without a lot of knowledge on programming themselves. I was thinking if you could make your own application and you can create that so that it like runs on a computer or tablet to be able to program things.
That'd
Maybe
be
that's the
cool.
great end goal of it. And then you're not relying on an AI to do this thing where there's you're jacking up a project or an expensive robot or human safety or you know, you've already put knowable, definable boundaries into this application that can't be changed. It can only work within something that's not malleable because the thing thinks it's better at understanding your space or something.
Totally. And it might just come to that point. Like, I think I might
Yeah,
sort of
right.
organically work through it and go, yeah, no, this is not the answer.
Yep.
Let's put,
Sure.
actually, let's just
I
do
don't
all the
think it's.
programming in Fusion because that's working well. Or, like,
Right.
yeah, it's just all very experimental at this stage. But I think you're probably right in that at some point, if all it's doing is to basically just generating sanding paths with different variables, then I may as well just write a program that has those variables baked in, and the operator can just like
Yeah.
change a few numbers on the pendant and go from there. Like,
I mean, I can imagine it like some kind of like simple restaurant menu ordering system where it's colorful buttons where it's like, I want a face sand, I want an edge sand, and then it's like, what's the size of your part? What are the fillet, you know, the radiuses in the corner? Which work offset have you put it in? Run, you know, like. I mean, that's to me maybe an ideal scenario, but it would be cool. Maybe there is like secret menu there where it's like tied in where that version of it can go a little more custom. I don't know. Just thinking about that as you've been talking about it and maybe not understanding it all that well.
No, I think it's a very valid point.
I will say, if you're playing with cursor rules, I did it wrong for a very long time. It
How so?
seems that you need to make a rule, singular rule, per rule, if that makes sense. Like, I thought
No.
that I just added a rule and I put a bunch of bullets inside of it with different rules in that,
Yeah.
and that did not work at all. And I had
Okay.
that like that for like a week or two. But you need to like, I'll send you a screenshot. Like, you keep clicking the button to add a new rule. But it allows you to put like bulleted points inside each one. It's confusing. Yeah.
Okay.
I confused myself, I think, the
Have
first time.
distinct rules, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Distinct
Like a
list of rules.
concept to each rule, as far as I understand, but maybe I'm
Okay.
wrong again.
All
Oh,
within
there's a whole
one
help desk
document.
thing here.
Oh, this
One.
is an actual cursor function. It's not reference.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can also
Oh.
put that into your code base as a file, and that's useful, I think, then for other people using your repo other than yourself.
Right, I thought it was a file system. Where are you adding rules then?
Up under settings and then cursor settings, and then there's a tab called rules, and there's also project rules and memories, which I have not turned on because
Okay. I need to do my work. Cool, so I see there are rules here. Nice. All right. This was the missing bit of the puzzle. I didn't know that existed. Thank you.
Well, I mean, thank you, except for that it doesn't work. Doesn't do shit.
I'll have a play. Cool. Good to know.
You see, one of mine there is don't be lazy, do things the right way that is secure and safe. And it still tries to skip pre-commit every time it commits. I'm just going to disable this rule because you wanted to commit.
We
Yeah,
know better.
well, that's not. You are not allowed to do that, computer.
Hilarious.
Sorry, I can't do that, Dave.
Dave.
I should.
We should
I
probably
think I
finish
hear some.
Dave.
some noise. Oh, you should call your AI for your
Dave.
robots, Dave.
Cool.
It's gonna hit my
Okay.
bell, but it's not at this space, so I'll use this
Ding.
prototype on this can.
Ring. Good to see
Bye.
ya. Bye.